welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Powell. We're back to continue the dialogue with Major Jonathan Shackelford as we tackle the question, why have we not won the war in excess? If you haven't listened to part one of this two-part episode series, then I highly implore you to give that one a listen before proceeding with today's episode. Now, without any further delay, let's dive back into our conversation. So, say I'm sitting here, I have a piece of equipment. The Army says it's excess, but I actually use it. I don't want to get rid of something. Mm-hmm. Am I able to keep this? Because, I mean, there is times where I want to get rid of all this stuff, like a whole pile of stuff, but the one piece that I actually want to keep, the Army's trying to get to take from me. Is there a way that I could still keep that?
Yes. So, by policy, you're going to have your ACOM, right? That's your four-star command, right? A letter, essentially, to the HQDA G357 of the Army and say, we want to keep this. Now, that's not a good answer because I guarantee you no four-star is going to write a letter saying, I want to keep this to the three-star 357 of the United States Army. It rarely happens. It does, but it's rare. That being said, there's almost two different kinds of excess, right? Number one is it's excess on your property book. Right, you're the commander, or a commander. No one's going to take that property from you because you're the commander. Just because it's excess doesn't mean it gets taken from you, which is part of the reason we're in this boat, right? Supply is a command responsibility. So if you have excess, you have to offer it up, and you do that by creating a PSD. So if you've got five Humvees that are excess, and one of them's great, and you need that Humvee because it's got like a shelter on the back and the AC actually works and it probably serves a real reason, but importantly, AC works. And you don't want to offer up that Humvee. No one's going to take that Humvee from you. You offer up what property is excess to get rid of because it's the commander's responsibility. Now, that's not to say that your superordinate commanders, right, your battalion commanders, your brigade commanders, your divisions, or their commands are going to take it from you. But if they decide to take it from you and you're a commander, you can submit a reclama to them, and that's local policy, right? But at the Army policy level, no, you can't keep excess. Again, that goes back to the common sense of because you're not getting Class 9 repair funds for it. But if we get away from policy, you're a commander, you submit a reclama saying, I need this for this reason, common sense will more than likely win that battle. However, there's another type of excess, and this is the type of excess that you cannot retain. It's called MDL. MDL is the master divestiture list. When a piece of equipment, specifically a NIN, when a NIN hits the MDL, that's the master divestiture list, that means that the headquarters department of the Army G357 has decided that this specific item by this NIN is no longer going to stay in the Army. We are going to cut supply lines. We will no longer even stock supply. DLA is not going to keep supplies of this any longer. You cannot maintain that. And this happens a lot. And people get confused too. They see a disposition come down for the LIN of this whatever. So Romeo 30925. It's a PDR 75. Mm-hmm. It's a radiation detection piece of equipment. The NIN for the PDR-75 falls under the LIN of Romeo 30925. A LIN is a non-existent thing. A LIN is a descriptor of a capability. Now, the old PDR-75 with its NIN hit the MDL and you got to get rid of all of them. But there's a more modern NIN of a PDR-75 Alpha that did not hit the MDL that still has the same LIN of Romeo 30925. Now, that causes confusion. If you understand that a LIN's a descriptor of a capability and only NINs will hit the master divestiture list, because a NIN is a thing, a LIN is a description, you can kind of alleviate that. But if it hits the MDL, you've got to get rid of it. If you're using it and you need it desperately, there's something, there's a more modern version of the capability, or the capability is not needed in your organization any longer. Bottom line is, if it hits the MDL, just get rid of it. But everything else you can argue to maintain, because again, you're a command. Commands offer up their excess. Commands excess are not taken. Now, again, that can go your higher command is doing some equipment reduction initiative where you might not get that choice. But if it's just your brigade PBO saying you're excess this and you're a company commander and you need this, just go talk to your PBO and explain it to them, and they can get rid of the disposition in DST that they created.
Yeah, I think that's I really liked how you put it about, you know, a NIN is something and a LIN is the descriptor, because that trips people up all the time.
Yep.
And I really think those who are in command or those who are going to be in command at some point need to really understand what those mean, the differences, have a good understanding of the property of a property, not just yours, but be able to understand how to read it. And that's going to really pay dividends going forward while you're in command to understand that breakdown. But that's good that we have, you know, there is an avenue. It would definitely be hard seeing a company commander trying to reach out to a 4-star. Can you give me a letter to keep this? But it's just good that there is ways to, especially if it is accessed, be able to keep it. So what about things that are just laying around your motor pool? It's not even on the books. Like, I open up a container, it's like, what is all this? How do I get rid of all this stuff? Like, your company commander, your battalion XO comes down and be like, get rid of this, mm-hmm. You know, turn this in, but it's not on my property book. What do I do?
So again, with everything that I say, I'm only talking about policy, and I know I'm saying things, and there's a lot of steps that go into each step I take, and this is going to be no exception. I'll use an example, right? You open a container and there's an M66 ring mount laying in there. Awesome. That's great. It's on nobody's hand or seat. That's not awesome. That's not great. Policy is you FOI that piece of equipment, your supply.
For the audience, FOI, just so someone doesn't know what that means.
Found on installation. FOI, it's basically a process you go through with your supply representative, whether you have an additional duty or a, you know, actual 92 Yankee. You FOI the piece of equipment with your property book office. They will add it to your property book. And you might think, oh, that's bad. No, it's not. It's fine. It's just another process. And once it's on your books and you're trying to get rid of it, you put it on a disposition to get it out of there. Now, that's if it's class 7, right? If it's class 2 or class 9, you've got two different avenues to go through. The class 2 and 9, I can't speak to as expertly as I can class 7, because again, I'm a class 7 supply guy, which is a little different. But the class 2 can be processed through the SSA for turn-in. Doesn't require you to add it to your property book, just like the class 9 can be turned back in through the supply or the maintenance channels to the SSA. Same way, it's more paperwork, it is effort, but there are some installations that take initiative, right? Fort Bliss, they had the Iron Reaper Yard, where you can just bring equipment to them, and they have people that they have scrounged up to take equipment and do that paperwork for you and turn it into the SSAs. That'll make it easier on you, much like an MDRS does on the industry for class 7. But some installations do have their own 2 and 9 initiatives to alleviate that burden on commanders. But the short and the skinny of it is there's paperwork to do to turn it into the right place. Don't just throw it in the trash. There's a process. It always exists. It's not glorious, but it is necessary.
Okay. So, yeah, and there's always the process, because some people are like, well, just go get rid of it. Next thing you know, it's all sitting in a dumpster.
Oh, yeah. Please don't do that.
So just kind of reiterate, you know, and to have that good solid clarification for the audience. I find there's a trailer sitting, somehow there's a trailer sitting in the motor pool. It's not on anybody's property book. For instance, use that as an example. Do I have to add that to the property book to turn it in?
Yes. So class 7, right, major end items, you will have to, right? The first thing that's going to happen is in the FOI process, you got to IQ09 it to run a serial number to see if someone else owns it. And sometimes that happens. But yeah, you do have to FOI that class 7, add it to the Army's system of record for supply, which is GCSS. And then once it's on there, it's not already on someone else's books. You have to get the proper disposition to get it where it actually needs to go, where it's needed.
So I don't know. And thank you for that, because I know that's a lot of misconceptions about that. And it's good to see that you have to get it on your property book to be able to remove it. It's just not, you just can't get rid of it.
Correct.
One of the final things, because like I said, we can go down these rabbit holes all day long when it comes to property. But one of the final things I want to kind of hit on here to wrap this all up is kind of like the way ahead right now. Specifically, I know you talked about the beginning, MDRS, R2E, you know, going away. Mm-hmm. So what is the way ahead now?
So the way ahead, right, is commanders must emphasize supply, right? And I understand that it's not glorious. It's not a maneuvering operation. However, the way ahead is to use the supply system that exists. And I'm going to support that statement by highlighting that R2E didn't change anything. The only thing R2E did was put a named operation and direct the attention of general officers. Other than that, all it did was alleviate the transfer standards for active duty, laterally transferring to other active duty units. It didn't change anything with depot turn-ins. It didn't change anything with DLA turn-ins. It didn't change any of that. It gave us a named operation that people can place an emphasis and a focus on, and that's it. And then it gave us the ability to give otherwise not mission-capable equipment to our sister and brother units on Compo 1. And because a command emphasis was given, R2E was successful in alleviating losing units. Now that's for everyone in the force, right? You, as a logistician, as a supply representative, need to place emphasis and focus on making sure that every year when your MTOS update, you are creating PSDs to get that excess out of there while communicating with your subordinate and supportive commanders to understand what they do or don't want to get rid of. Now that's just at the unit level, right? The worker bees, your brigade PBOs, your division class 7 cells, your core force management personnel and material integrators. For the Army is discussing other avenues because the Army supply policy is good if it's used right. But what we're finding is we're not using the supply policy, because the answer to everything is money, right? MDRS has inducted all these R2E pieces of equipment and they haven't gone anywhere. They haven't left. So the way forward for policy is going to be going back to that 1020 standard, putting the ownership on the units, because that is the only way it will work. Because right now, everyone who has been successful in R2E has given their equipment to an MDRS. And those MDRS sites are closing down. They shut their doors. Well, now they have hundreds of thousands of pieces of equipment sitting at the MDRS because there's no transportation funds to get them to the gaining units. And you also have hundreds of thousands of pieces of equipment inbound to gaining units who will not otherwise be receiving that piece of equipment because they've got one inbound, but they're never going to get it because there's no transportation funds. So the Army is stepping back from its policy and realizing that, okay, we are transforming actively. However, we have an Army policy that we must go back to, because the Army policy only works if we use it. Because 980K, all Army excess, MDRS, R2E, if you plot those across time and space and you look at the actual system of record for reporting your supply readiness, and you put that across all time and space, none of those efforts have made a impact on readiness as far as supply goes. None of them, not a single one. You can plot them on there. It's humbling to see. But the only thing that's going to work is a command emphasis on the system and using it as such. And then the Army has to fund the transportation of the equipment to get where it needs to go. They have to fund the storage of the equipment when it gets there, whether it's a depot. If it's a depot, you have to pay for it, believe it or not, while it sits there. And then the Army has to fund the maintenance repair lines that currently do not exist for the influx of equipment that has been turned in that was not being maintained by the force for 20 years of GWAT. The answer to everything is money. The Army is now throwing a lot of money at their class 7 problem that has been exacerbated by R2E, MDRS, All Army Access, and 980K. And that's what, at the policy level, we've realized and what we're going towards. And then the policy going forward is going to shift back to us at the unit. We have to maintain our equipment. Because if you look at the future, the Army is no longer the primary focus of the DoD. We're not going to keep getting these GWAT funds that fall out of the sky. And we haven't for a while, but now they're starting to truly shift focus. And we must do what Congress pays us to do, which is maintain our equipment.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great way to look at it. The simplest thing is maintain the equipment that you have today. Goes back to the concept of fight tonight and fight with the equipment you have, the people that you have. And that really begins with maintaining what you have, taking care of what you have. Just because, you know, especially a company commander comes in, you might have a whole bunch of bad equipment, but it's your responsibility as that commander to get that equipment back up to 1020 and maintain the standard that you're given. And it takes effort. It's not something that's going to be easy. Sometimes you got a lot of piles, some bad equipment, but you got to be able to work through those obstacles to get that stuff ready. Because if it's the mentality is fight tonight, you got to be able to fight with the equipment that you have. You're not just going to come in on a brand new piece of equipment. You got to be able to work with what you have. So taking that initiative, fixing what you have, and taking pride in the equipment that you do have. And of course, we can get into so many different discussions there where it gets into ensuring that these operators are signed for and taking care of the equipment that they're supposed to be. There's a whole other discussion on making sure you're signing stuff down correctly and really placing command emphasis on supply and maintenance within your company. But so really after all that, I mean, is there a way to win this war on excess?
There is not, right? Excess is created every year with MTO changes, right? You'll never win, but we've been consistently losing for 20 years. So we're pretty far behind in the war, right? We haven't won a battle in 20 years. And I believe we're going to start winning a little bit of battles, but that comes down to, and I know it's easy for me to say, sitting here in the air conditioning, I'm not at a line unit right now, but we have to do the hard things. We have to start winning the battles of every year when small MTO change updates, we get rid of our excess. We do the right thing because the Army supply system does work. And I am smiling and laughing at myself as Lieutenant Shackelford would be shaking his fist at me. It does work. We just have to do the hard thing and do the right thing.
Exactly. I completely agree with that. It's one step at a time. And I really think, as you said, when the MTO change, you get those changes every year, place that as a priority. Like, hey, let's knock this out. I think the simplest thing is for a company commander is you got to do inventories every month. Make that your first thing to do in the month. That first week should just be your admin property week. Get it all done, making sure your equipment's squared away. If you got something coming down that you need to turn in, get it done that first week. So the rest of the month, you could focus on training.
Yep. Training, property, and people. Those are your three lines of effort. And you got a first sergeant who does training and people pretty well.
Yes. So just take care of when it comes to property. But I just really want to thank you for, that's been an awesome conversation. But kind of before we do close out, do you have any good final advice for the sustainment community as a whole from your experience, especially being this MDRS R2E team lead at Army Sustainment Command?
Yeah, just like I said earlier, reading is a superpower. Seek knowledge from those who have it. And don't, if it seems shifty, it's probably shifty. Read. Be a subject matter expert, because those commanders that command, they rely on you, right? They rely on you. A general doesn't know. A commander doesn't know. We are the subject matter experts. And if we don't know the answer, they're not going to either. We're there to advise them. So read, seek knowledge, and understand that there's a way to do everything. Don't take no for an answer.
I like that. So where can people find you if they have any additional follow-up questions?
Can absolutely find me on Global. I'm pretty responsive to emails. I give a lot of those from a lot of different people in Forces Command specifically, just because they're large and they're my major customer for the past 2 years. But you find me on Global, find me on Teams, more than willing to answer any questions. Pretty smart on Class 7, and that's about it.
Well, I definitely want to thank you, sir, you know, for coming to meet me today. I mean, we could have spent hours talking about this. I know it's been a longer episode, but we really hit the nail on a lot of great topics. And I hope that our audience will be able to take these lessons that we've talked about today and really apply them so that we can continue to start winning some battles, as you said, on this war in excess. And I just really hope these conversations at least to spark discussions across the force, like how we can be better stewards of property, how we can get property that is excess turned in, how we get through understanding conditioning codes, getting that TI done, getting those pieces of equipment and property up to 1020 standard. So just really want to thank you today for all your knowledge.
Not a problem. Happy to be here.
So once again, thank you. But that is all we have today, folks. Really hope you enjoyed our discussions just as much as I have. Property is a huge passion of mine. Biggest thing is get out in your motor pools and check out your supply cages so that we can continue to win some battles on this war in excess. As always, sustainment leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.